Loving Father, as Janet comes to read your word now and as Michael comes to preach for us, please would we hear your voice addressing us, and please would you work in us by your Spirit that we would receive all that you have to say to us with humble hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, and then Michael is going to come and preach for us. Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13.
At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour."
Morning, everyone.
Well, I don't know how patient you are. It's not something that comes particularly naturally to me, I have to say. But we, as a nation, like to think we're quite good at waiting. Queuing is practically a national sport. And if you're a football fan, we've been waiting over 50 years since we won the last World Cup. And yet we seem to be convinced it's just round the corner every time it comes round. We've all got things we wait for, things we look forward to. Maybe it's a birthday or a holiday coming up this summer. Maybe you're just looking forward to tea and cakes after the service. Whatever you're looking forward to, there's always a tricky mix of fun as you enjoy thinking about whatever it is, but also frustration as you wait for it to come. You really want it to be here now. Well, our passage today describes how we're all waiting for Jesus' return and how we should act in the meantime, what to do in anticipation of it. We're going to be looking at it in 3 sections. The bridegroom is coming, so be ready. It has eternal consequences. And so our first point, the bridegroom is coming. Let's read verses 1 to 5 together. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and all became drowsy and fell asleep. So the passage today begins with Jesus talking to his disciples and explaining what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like, using this picture of a wedding. It's an analogy he used several times, and it would really have resonated with his audience. They'd all have been to weddings and known what he was getting at. In their culture, weddings were even bigger affairs than they are now. There were great occasions with many guests, lots of food and drink, and they lasted a very long time. And whilst these days weddings can be delayed by the bride turning up not strictly on time, in the culture of the time, weddings would only start when everything was absolutely ready. Then and only then would the bridegroom leave, go to his bride, bring her back to his father's house, and then there would be the ceremony and the celebration. His listeners at the time would have been well aware of this tradition and may have experienced the frustration of waiting ages for the party to get started. Well, this is the picture that Jesus uses to illustrate his return. In this context, the kingdom of heaven means his return on the last day, when he'll come to judge everyone and to proclaim his own people. And this parable comes at an important stage in Jesus' ministry. When he taught this, he was in Jerusalem, in the last week before he was crucified. And this parable forms part of a larger block of teaching, explaining the events to come and preparing the disciples for it. And in particular, what he's describing here is the period between his ascension to heaven and his eventual return. And so whilst Jesus is talking directly to his disciples here, it's still very pertinent to us, as these are the times we are living in. This applies to us as well. Jesus knew there would be a time when he wasn't physically present on earth, and he prepared his disciples, as he prepares us, for that time. And a crucial thing to note here is that he is coming back. Throughout his ministry, Jesus was clear that the physical separation between him and his followers was going to be temporary. He always promised to come back, to bring them to be with him. And he used this picture of a wedding to illustrate it. At a wedding, whilst it was fairly common that the groom would be delayed in returning, you could be confident that he would come. The wait might be long and frustrating, but he would come back. And that's what Jesus is explaining here. He will be physically away from his people for a long time, and it will seem to some that he's never coming. But he will come. And that's as true today as it was back then. But admittedly, patience can be hard. I remember a time when Fiona, my wife, went to get her hair cut. Being no expert in the art of hairdressing, I had no idea how long this would take. I take a punt at somewhere between half an hour and 3 hours. And I had to explain this concept to my young son. When's mummy coming home? Don't know. Will she be here by lunchtime? Still don't know. Is she coming? Well, yes, she'll definitely come when everything is ready. Don't know when it will be, but she'll definitely come. Waiting is hard, especially when we don't know how long it will be. But Jesus, in this parable, prepares us that he may well be a long time. It is easy to think that Jesus won't return soon, that he's been long enough now that either he's not coming, or that his eventual return will be in a far distant future. But it is helpful to remember that throughout the Bible, God fulfills his promises over timescales of hundreds and thousands of years. Many of the great deeds that God did, in the Old Testament particularly, came at fairly uninteresting times. People weren't expecting it. It would be foolish to put any hard and fast predictions on when Jesus will return. But it genuinely could be any time now. So Jesus knew the wait would be hard for his disciples. He knew that the uncertainty of when he'd return would cause us to forget it at times, to struggle to keep going and trusting him. And so in his great love for us, he reminds us that he is definitely coming back. Even though the wait will be a long one, he will return when everything is ready and he'll bring us to him. But waiting patiently isn't the only thing we're told to do here. The main thrust of this parable requires a much more active response. And that's our second point, so be ready. Well, in this passage, Jesus uses a slightly different take on the picture of a wedding. He frequently uses the picture of himself as the bridegroom and his people as the bride, with him returning to take them to be with him. Bring them back to his father's house, where they will be made part of the family and there will be great celebration. But in this parable, there's a slightly different take on it. He focuses in on these 10 virgins, these 10 young women, and uses them as an illustration for us as we wait for his return. These virgins had a job to do at the wedding. Their role was to provide light, to light the happy couple into their house for the celebration. But there was a problem. Only half of them had brought enough oil. The others had underestimated the length of the wait. They had unrealistic expectations of what the job would look like. And so they were taken by surprise by the groom. They were unprepared for his coming. Let's read verses 6 to 9 again. At midnight the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out and meet him." Then all the virgins woke and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Well, in order to understand what Jesus is getting at here, we need to understand what this oil represents. What does it mean to be prepared for Jesus' return? The passage in itself doesn't give us a whole lot of clues, but from the rest of the Bible, we see that the one thing we can do to be ready for his return is to turn to him. And by this I mean we need to recognise that we're not good enough for him, to humbly ask him to forgive us for all we've done wrong. This is all we can do, and it's the single most important thing we can do in our lives. The offer is open to all who will accept, but it does need to be accepted. Just like the wise virgins couldn't lend their oil to the foolish ones, so we can't donate our salvation to others. It's non-transferable. But what we can do, like the wise virgins did here, is to point others to where they can get it. So if we're trusting in Jesus, then we are prepared for his return. Our entry to the banquet is confirmed. But that's not where our role ends. It's not a case of turning to him, then kicking back and taking it easy. The wise virgins were well prepared for the groom's return, but they still had a job to do, and so do we. They needed to perform the role that he had assigned to them, as do we. And we must be ready for that at all times. It's like when you're expecting a parcel to be delivered. You know it's due between 8 in the morning and 8 in the evening, but they unhelpfully haven't texted ahead to tell you when they'll be there. So you make sure you're out of bed, you're showered and dressed well before 8 o'clock. You make sure you're within earshot of the doorbell at all times. You have a crafty check on the path every now and then, just to make sure they're not sneaking up on you. And when the time does come that you do need the loo, you have a good look out up and down the road to make sure there's not a van waiting to swoop in and try and deliver while you're indisposed. It's like that. Jesus could arrive at any moment. We should be prepared for it. We want to be living in a way that pleases him all the time. We don't want to be caught on the loo when the parcel comes. Whilst our salvation is assured, the correct response to this is to work hard to show it. We're part of God's family, so we should show the family resemblance. Every day we need to be thinking that Jesus could return. So how is that going to affect how we act? Well, there are so many ways of doing this that it would be impossible to go through an exhaustive list. But it is worth considering how we act, and in particular, how we act today. Is there someone you've been meaning to speak to about the gospel, to invite to church? Maybe you've been meaning to lend them a Christian book to work through, or to offer to pray for them in a tough period. Then why not today? How wonderful would it be if Jesus returned this evening and you'd taken that opportunity to help get them prepared? Maybe you've been wanting to ask a Christian friend if they'd read the Bible with you, or join a prayer triplet, or to help encourage each other and build each other up. Well, today is a good day for that too. There'll be plenty of time to chat over tea and coffee later, so do take the opportunity. Maybe you've been meaning to offer practical support to someone, giving them a lift to the shops or visiting them in hospital or in a home. Why not offer today? Or lastly, maybe there's something in your life you're not happy about. A sin that you know you need to stop that you've been meaning to tackle. Even though we are saved by Jesus' grace alone, we are called to repentance, to live changed lives. That's not easy, and we do need God's help. But whatever that sin might be, then today might be a good day to pray about it, to ask God to help you to change, to put the groundwork in to bring it to an end. If we're trusting in Jesus, our future is assured. But if he were to return today, what would you want him to find you doing? And that brings us to our third point, eternal consequences. So we've seen that Jesus, the bridegroom, is coming back. And we've seen that we should be ready. But what remains to be seen are the consequences of being ready, or of not being ready. Let's read verses 10 to 13. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. From this we see that when Jesus returns, there are two possible outcomes. For those who are ready for him and welcome him, there'll be great celebration and great joy. But for those who aren't ready, who haven't prepared for his return, they will be shut out of his presence. At first look, this can seem harsh. It might not seem fair. Now, I don't like to use too flippant an example, but if your wedding photographer turned up with no camera and still expected to use the free bar, then you'd consider that audacious and rude, and you'd be entirely justified in refusing them entry. It's like that. To be ready for Jesus' return, all we need to do is to turn to him, to ask him to forgive us, to ask him to accept us. We see it in this passage. The wise virgins gently remind the foolish ones that oil has always been easily available. But if we do refuse to engage with him, if we continue to hold ourselves apart from Jesus, then there can be no surprise that when he returns, he will respect that wish, and he will hold himself apart from us. A state that the Bible does describe as hell, a removal of God and all the good things he gives us in life. It's bleak. It's not pleasant to think about. And it's not something to be taken lightly. Well, this passage can come as a surprise. It can seem shocking and scary. And while it's not easy listening, there is a point to it. It's not just here to put us on edge. Instead, it's a loving warning, giving us every opportunity to be ready, to accept Jesus and all the goodness and wonder that is in him. Because when Jesus does return, it's going to be good. We see in verse 10, the wise virgins are welcomed into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. And that sealed the foolish virgins out, but it also sealed the wise virgins in. They were there, with the feasting and the celebration and the happiness, permanently. That's how the Bible repeatedly describes eternity for the Christian. Whatever life may hold in the short term, there will be a day when we live with Jesus, and it will be all good, all the time. And that is a great encouragement for our lives, in whatever we're going through. Maybe you're contemplating tricky decisions about your future, whether it's getting a new job, going to university, choosing what A-levels to do. Well, in that case, by all means, choose wisely. But remember that the vast majority of your future is already sorted. If you're struggling with your health, maybe age is catching up with you a bit, then remembering that Jesus is coming back, that can help massively. One day you will have an eternity with no pain, no discomfort, no tiredness. Maybe you're battling with sin, you're feeling overwhelmed. Remember that one day it will be a thing of the past, sin will be a distant memory. Whatever situation you're in, whether it's happy or sad, the life that is to come is infinitely better. It will be wonderful. No more pain or sadness, no more stress or financial worries, no more goodbyes or broken relationships. It's going to be good. So as we come to a close, I'm going to summarise. Jesus is coming, and we need to be ready. Our readiness will have these eternal consequences. So if you're a Christian, then rejoice. Give thanks to God for his grace and his goodness to you, that he will be coming back. But as well as looking forward to the future, keep an eye on the present as well. Live today as you plan to live out the rest of your life. But if you're not a Christian, then let me encourage you to think on it. Don't dismiss it out of hand. Do come and grab me afterwards if you'd like to talk more about it. But be prepared, because Jesus is coming. Let's pray as we close. Father God, thank you that Jesus is coming. Thank you that this is certain. And thank you for the forgiveness you offer us, that we can be ready for him. Please help us to turn to you and to live our lives in response to your great goodness to us. Amen.